open up in an attitude of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father. Father, you are awesome, Lord. You are glorious. You are wonderful, Father. We just open our hearts to you. We just receive from your presence. We receive from your spirit, Father. We receive from your word this morning, revelation knowledge, fresh bread, insight, understanding, Father, by your spirit, Father. We thank you for the work that you are doing in us, through us, Father, in this time and in this season. And we just avail ourselves to the flow of the spirit in this time and in this season. We open and yield ourselves to you as vessels to be used of you, and for you to flow through by your grace, Father. We celebrate our anointed Redeemer this morning, the Christ, Yeshua, who has redeemed us from death, sickness, disease, poverty, anything that was under the curse we have been redeemed from, and we thank you for it, Father. We celebrate the victory this morning and give you all praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, good morning. It is a good morning. It is a great day. Hallelujah. Am I sounding better? No? Yes? Okay. All right. Praise God. We'll continue on. Did I just cut back out? All right, Pastor. It's on. All right. You know, the anointing of God is not dissuaded by technical difficulties. You know that? Sometimes people are. Yeah. Sometimes people need the right and perfect environment to receive, but the anointing of God is not dissuaded by any of that. So praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so today, this morning, we are talking about operating and functioning in the grace of God. Operating and functioning in the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. We all have a measure of grace that we operate and that we function in. And it comes from God, and it's a part of the gift that we have in Christ. There's a measure of grace that we should be functioning and operating in. So there is a particular way that Sister Lou flows. There's a particular way that Sister Gail flows. There's a particular way that Bob flows. There's a particular way that Raymond flows. When it comes to the call of God on their life, whatever it is God has called them to, whatever gift God has put inside of them, there is a particular way that each of us flows. And the way that Sister Lou flows is not the same way that Sister Gail flows. They flow in different ways, and it would be a huge mistake for Sister Lou to ever try to emulate or imitate Sister Gail. Why? She doesn't have the grace for it to do that. There's a particular way that Sister Michelle flows, that Brother Damon flows, and it would be a mistake to want to or try to operate outside of anything but that measure of grace. And to do so is frustrating. The law came by Moses.
But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What was the law about? The law is about man's efforts, man's work, man's labor to be righteous, man's work, man's labor to achieve life and that life more abundantly. Jesus came on the scene and he said, I came that you might have what? Life and have it more abundantly as a free gift. So the law was about man's efforts. Grace and truth is about God's effort and God's work that he did on and through the cross when he bore his arm and wrought salvation and righteousness for himself. It was a work that God did, it's a completed work. Now, we are called to respond to that free gift. We are called to walk in and operate in it, but the foundation of it is a work of God. And then we are invited to operate and participate with him in it and in establishing the kingdom of God in the earth. So the law is about man's efforts to be righteous. Grace is about God's ability, God's work, God's measure operating and working inside of you. So anytime that we seek to step out of that measure of grace that God has called us to operate in, it becomes work. It becomes labor. There is a particular way that God flows with Brother Richard. And if Richard decides that, you know, I know God told me this and God put this on my heart, but in addition to what God said, what about this and this? Now, the kingdom of God, specifics are vital. To rule and reign in the kingdom of God as a king in the earth, you have to pay attention to what God is saying to you and the way God said it to you and the way God has called you to flow, the way God has called you to operate. Those specifics are very vital. And so you want to make sure that you're paying attention to what God put on the inside of you in terms of the way you flow, the way you operate. Anytime you decide to or seek to step out of that, you will find yourself frustrated. You will find yourself tired. You will find yourself laboring, working, because you have not, or you are in the midst of not receiving and walking and flowing in the grace that God has given you to do that task, to do that ministry, to do that thing. So we want to be very careful about God telling you something and then you adding this and this as well. You want to be true to the measure of grace that God has put on the inside of you in every area of your life. With your family, there's a particular way that your family flows and operates and functions for the sake of the kingdom. And you need to be true to that. Anytime you seek to take your family outside of the grace that God has given you to function the way you function, you're going to be met with frustration. Well, I like what this family does. Is that what God has called you to do? Is that who God has called you to be as a family? Do you have the grace for that? Do you have the grace to do that? Well, I'm going to pursue this career. There is a specific calling, specific gift that God has given each one of us, all for the sake of establishing the kingdom in the earth. God has a plan for you. He chose it. He said it. And it's up to you to walk in it. When you decide to direct the course of your own life, you find yourself at that point stepping back over into works instead of laying hold of what you have the grace to do and where you have the grace to flow. So we've heard grace mentioned quite a bit as unmerited favor, and it is. But grace is also unmerited ability. God's ability working in you. Grace is also unmerited desire. You have a desire and you don't know where it came from. You have a passion and you don't know where it came from. It wasn't there last week, but somehow you're different this week. Now it says in Philippians that God is at work in us to do what? Both to will, desire, and to do action according to his good pleasure. God is at work in us, both to will and to do. So the thing that you desire may be from God. Now, there are, when people are don't have their mind completely renewed in an area, they can desire things that are not God. But God is at work in you to give you certain desires, to want to do certain things. Well, Brian, I don't want to do that. Just wait. If it's God's will, he's going to work the want in you to do it. He will work the desire in you to do it. It is a measure of grace, unmerited, meaning not from the flesh, not from man's works, but from God, unmerited desire to do something that comes upon you as a grace. The Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of Christ as a grace upon you. The Greek word is charis, where we get the word charisma, gifting from grace. So the spiritual gifts that you have, the gifts that are on your life and in your life, are graces from God. And we want to make sure that we are operating and functioning in the measure of graces that we have to do certain things. You don't have to be like the person next to you in terms of the way God uses you. You will be like the person next to you from the things that God tells us all to do. Love one another. Forgive one another. Those are corporate mandates from God. And we will all love one another, but the way it looks for this person loving one person may look different for this other person loving someone. But we're all called to love one another. These are gifts, graces that we receive from God. So grace is unmerited favor, definitely, but it's also unmerited ability. It's also unmerited desire, again, meaning that it does not originate with you. It originates with God. So Ephesians 1, chapter 4, verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You want to live, you want to minister, you want to share, You want to relate and you want to give all within the realms of God's grace. You want to live in the realm of God's grace. Why? Because there's going to be rest there. There's going to be peace there. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? I will give you rest. Christ has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly, but he also came that we might have rest, that we may cease from our own labors and trust God and believe God. Now, this does not mean that the believer is inactive. When we talk about works, we're talking about that activity where God is not the foundation and God is not the source. It's a work that originates with you. When we talk about grace and rest, it's trusting God to do it, even though God is and may be working through you to get it done. We are co-laborers with Christ. You get it? We are co-laborers with Christ, all the while trusting God, knowing that he is the one who is at work in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. But it all starts with him. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he's the beginning, he's the end. It all starts and ends with him. So that's the difference between works and activity. We should be very active as believers. If we're not very active, we're going to have a hard time establishing the kingdom in the earth. We're going to have a hard time loving people, reaching out to people. So we do have to be active, but we have to understand that our activity is rooted and undergirded by the grace of God. That it's his grace and his power, his ability upon me to do what I'm doing. And so I'm cooperating with him. I am co-laboring with him. And I find that if I will just do what he says do and walk where he says walk and step where he says step, he will make the way. He will fight my battles. I'm trusting him. When you enter into that place, that measure of grace, you find that measure of rest for your soul. Come unto me, all you who are weary. Why are you weary? Why are they weary and tired? They're tired because the Bible says that the religious leaders of that time tied together heavy loads and put them on their shoulders. They're tired of laboring under their own strength. The law came from Moses, laboring under your own strength. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So now we have something undergirding our activity. It is the grace of God. So again, you want to live, you want to minister, you want to share, you want to relate, you want to give all within the realm of God's grace. Sometimes we make things more difficult than they have to be, because we have a tendency to add to God's grace. We have a tendency to add to what God said. Well, God said this, and that's good, but this would be good too, and this would be good too, and this would be good too. I used to be a part of a ministry many, many years ago. And it was always funny because, and we kind of made a joke out of it. Not a joke, but we kind of laughed. Every time, or many times when God would do something and we would have a move of God at a particular event or activity that we were doing, God would move powerfully. God would move. God would move so much that when the event was over, we would have people saying, we should do this event again next year. They wanted to make it a annual. That's what we used to call it. Annuals. Now, if God says make it an annual, then make it an annual. But don't try to capsulize the move of God and say that he moved because we did the event. There was a particular season and something that God wanted to do in that season that made that moment great. If you try to repeat it, you try to duplicate the move of God, you'll be in for a rude awakening. You cannot bottle, I don't care what the televangelist told you on TV, you cannot bottle the move of God. The move of God was never intended to be bottled. It was intended to be submitted to. It was intended to be yielded to. And when you have ministries and churches and organizations where God moves and the grace of God was upon that moment, and we got caught up in that moment and what God did by his grace, and then we try to reduplicate it the next year, people get tired. Why are they tired? Because God's grace is not on the duplication. Why do people get weary? Because they step out of grace and get into works. They step out of grace and they get into law. God's grace is not on the duplication. It was on the moment in the season of his will and what he wanted to do. And so we have to be careful about making things more difficult than they have to be. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the what? The grace. We wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given. Grace is given. In the churches of Macedonia. Now, when we've been taught that grace is unmerited favor, and it is unmerited favor, but here's a different take on grace in this passage. The grace that was given in the churches, that in a great ordeal of affliction, so this church that he's referring to was going through. They were going through trials. They were afflicted. They had their own issues. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. So Paul is saying this church was poor. They didn't have a lot of financial resources. But even though they did not have a lot of financial resources, they gave anyway. They became very liberal. Many ministries have asked, why can a church of our size give the way we do? The grace of God. The grace of God. Why was this group of people that Paul is referring to able to give beyond their means? Because of verse 1. The grace of God which was given to them to do it. Their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. Brian, how do I do something that's beyond me? The grace of God. Unmerited ability. Brian, I don't see how I can do this. This is not me. It might not be you yet, but if God told you to do it, it will be you. And you'll be able to do it, and you'll be able to go beyond where you thought you could go because of his grace. So his grace now goes beyond unmerited favor, which doors of favor open up for me, to now I've got ability that didn't start with me. It's unmerited ability to do something that I thought I couldn't do. I didn't think I could give this much for pastor appreciation, but I did. How did you do that? The grace of God. But your attitude has to be right. If you desire to give that much, but you can't find it within your being to do it, look to God's grace. God will give you the grace to go beyond yourself. Brian, I didn't think I'd be able to get through this trial. I don't think I'll be able to get through this ordeal. I'm at my wit's end. I've tried everything. I'm about to give up hope. What should I do? Trust. Trust. Trust in God's grace to get you through. You ever gone through something? Some of you in here ever gone through something and you just knew it was going to eat your lunch. I mean, you just knew it was going to eat your lunch. But you got through it somehow. And you look back and you go, man, I just knew that was going to eat my lunch. In my flesh, in my natural reasoning and thinking, the thoughts that come, you just knew it was going to eat your flesh. But then time goes by and you're still standing. Weeks go by, months go by, years go by, and you look back. And the only thing that you're able to say is it was His grace. It was His ability working in you. It was His desire working in you. God's grace will work in your marriage. It'll work in your family. It'll work in your finances. It'll work in your career. It'll work in your ministry. God's grace will work in every area of your life if you will let it. Yes. This is where we want to be living. This is where we want to be operating, where we are trusting God to do the work and then being obedient to what He says do while He's doing that. Co-laboring with Him to get the job done. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Paul says, but we will not boast beyond our measure. We're not going to talk about ourselves or build ourselves up or say we're something that we're not. We're going to stick with who God has called us to be and what God has called us to do. We're going to walk in the ministry and gift that God has given us, and we don't care about all these other ministries and people trying to brag about themselves or trying to down us, because that's what was going on at this time. Paul says, we're going to stay right in that place that God has called us to be. And we're going to walk and flow with God. And if God says go to a different place, we'll go. But if He doesn't, we'll stay right here. We'll stay under the spout where the glory's coming out. And if God's moving right here and He's stirring the waters right here, this is right where we want to be, because that's where the grace of God is. Amen. And for me to step out of that and go on to something else, there's a measure of God's grace for what He's called you to, right? So He says, we will not boast beyond our measure, but we'll stay within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us. There's that word measure again. We saw it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, right? The measure of God's grace. He says, we're going to stay within the measure of the sphere which God apportioned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. He says, our ministry has come all the way to where you are. Verse 14, for we are not overextending ourselves as if we did not reach to you. For we were the first to come even as far as you were in the gospel of Christ. Not boasting beyond our measure, there it is again, that is in another man's labors. So Paul is saying again, we're going to stay right in that measure of grace that God has given us to flow and operate in. as a ministry. We don't want to go beyond the bounds of what God said. We don't want to go beyond the bounds of who God has called us to be. Sometimes we can make things more difficult than they have to be because God says, do this and do it this way. World system says, you should be doing this. God didn't tell you to do that. This is what God said do, and this is how he said do it. The world system, or somebody who's representing the world system, comes along and says, you should be doing this. And they say that it's necessary for you to do it and to do it this way. And so whenever we get it in our head that something is necessary for me to succeed outside of what God said, we run into problems. It's necessary for you to go to school for 12 years. It's necessary. It might be in some scenarios, but then it might not be. It's necessary for you to put your business together this way. It's necessary. It's necessary to make sure that your kids are a part of this program, this camp, this program, in order for them to go there. And it might be in certain scenarios. It might be if that's what God said. But whenever we get it into our head that all this stuff is necessary, we frustrate ourselves. Because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're trying to keep up with the world system instead of staying in that place of grace that God has called us to. Who said that your kids need to be over here and over here and over here and over here? You're running yourself ragged. No, there is a specific place and specific places that your kids need to be. Get them there. There are God appointments and God positions that God has ordained for your kids. Get them in those places. Don't try to keep up because you think it's necessary. It might not be necessary. Mary and Martha, Jesus comes to visit. You know, we always want to, when Jesus coming to visit, we got to clean up the house. Cleaned up. Pastor's coming over. Oops, better do them dishes. Better mow the grass. Better clean up the mess. The man of God's coming over. You know, it's just natural, you know. Pastor opens up the closet, all the stuff falls on him. We just cleaned up 30 minutes ago. You know, we didn't know you was coming. You know. But when the man of God's coming, you wanna clean up and make sure everything's ready. And so that was Martha's attitude. She was very concerned about the things she thought were necessary, right? And so she's running about, frustrating herself, tiring herself out. And Jesus tells her what? One thing is necessary, and that is hearing from me. Brian, what's necessary? It's necessary to hear from God. Because when you hear from God, then now you enter into that place and that sphere of grace to do what it is that needs to be done. Outside of grace, you're Martha, running yourself ragged, trying to keep up, trying to fulfill expectations, frustrated, laboring. Mary got to the point where she realized, if the man of God is here the woman of God is here, my number one priority shouldn't be the cleaning up that needs to be done. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that's not the number one priority. The man of God is here. I want to hear what he has to say. That's the thing that's necessary. So don't make things more difficult than they have to be because you're trying to operate and function in a way that God has not called you to operate and function. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 38. Context, David and Goliath, many of us have heard the account. Goliath is threatening God's people. And David comes out, and he's going to stand up to the bully. Verse 38 says, then Saul clothed David. We can stop right there. Then Saul clothed David. God didn't clothe David. Saul clothed David with his garments. We think you should do this. We think this is necessary. Be careful about people trying to clothe you in their calling, in their gifting, in their flow, in their direction. Be careful about people trying to clothe you in anything outside of what God has directed and called you to do and established you to do. Make sure that you are operating and flowing in the grace that God has given you. Because what happens when people clothe you with their garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor, David, verse 39, David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk. He tried to walk in this thing, but the grace wasn't there to do it. He tried to do it, but he was out of his sphere and place of grace. Notice that they were all seeking to accomplish the same thing, to defeat the giant. They were just going to go about it differently. God was going to use them in a different way. David girded up his sword and tried to walk, but he had not tested him. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. He took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. So David got a hold of something that was him, that was where he flowed, that was a part of his gifting to accomplish the same thing. He just could not flow the way Saul was going to flow. He had to find his gift. He had to find his place. He had to find his grace to get the job done. It's all the same job. But the question is, how is it going to get done? Are you going to allow God to flow through you? The grace of God can be upon your prayer life. You don't pray the way everyone else prays. It can be upon your conversations. It can be upon your family. Be careful that you're not trying to be someone God has not called you to be by putting on someone else's armor. When God gives you peace about doing something a certain way, and then someone comes along and says, you should be doing this, and then you start doing this, you find frustration and failure because you're using someone else's armor. Trust God to take you where you need to go by His grace. Expect God to give you grace to function where you need to function. I was carrying my 3-year-old daughter, Brianna, in the middle of the night. She had got up, and she was calling for me out of her bedroom. So I went to pick her up, and I was going to take her into our bedroom. I did not tell her my plans. I just picked her up, and I was taking her somewhere. And she looked up and looked around and said, where are you taking me? I said, don't worry about it. Just trust me. Sometimes you can't always see where God is taking you, but you know He's taking you somewhere. Trust Him to get you there by His grace. Know that He has your best interest in mind. He will get you there. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So that is the message for this morning. You are blessed, and the grace of God is upon you to do what you need to do and to get done what you need to get done. Don't worry about the giant. Don't worry if the assignment is bigger than what you think you can handle. Don't worry if it's a way that you've never done, something you've never done before, a way you've never gone before. If it's God, you'll find the grace to do it. You'll find the grace to get it done. And that's where you find your place of rest, your place of peace. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We call Your family blessed of You, Father. You are at work in their lives, and we just speak Your grace resting upon them, upon their lives, upon the giftings and callings that You put in them, Father. Keep each and every person under the sound of my voice in that place of rest, in that place of grace where they flow and where they operate, Father. Seal this word in their spirits, in their hearts, and in their minds this morning, Father. We give You all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Father. Thank You, sir. You are free to go.